Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
We just had two, or actually three, major WOS wrestling title changes. Really? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because one is one belt and the other one is the tag belt, so that's two belts. But it's really only one championship. Three physical belts, two concepts changed hands. I'm Ollie Davis. This is Luke Owen. Welcome to the season finale WOS Wrestling Review. It's been an epic 10 weeks.
It has been an epic 10 weeks. I've missed two of them, but you've been there from day dot all the way up to this point here.
Yeah, a privilege to do so, to see British wrestling. All these guys who I've followed in Progress and NGW, since 2010, really. So it's like, right, Rampage. Rampage was in the first live match I saw in my smarky adult life.
What?
Yeah, it was a three-way at Brit Rest Fest, which I believe was in 2010. Which was non-WWE. And now here they are, and they did a lovely video recap package at the start of this episode, where it recapped everything that had happened in the series and Alex Shane's voiceover getting over all the monumental things that were happening. And it's just, what a nice self-contained 10-episode series it's been.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm. And I know there have been very sniffy people about it, particularly from like the hardcore wrestling fandom who are just like, oh, I don't like the way that it's cut together. But I've thoroughly enjoyed myself watching it, and I thought this episode was absolutely cracking. I thought I really, really enjoyed this.
Well, it's for those people, it's, I think people just wanted New Japan to be on ITV at 2:30 p.m. And it's not, you can't appreciate it if you come in with that mindset.
Absolutely not.
Like we've said, you know, if you take this for what it is, which is a huge mainstream exposure for the British wrestling scene, then I can't think of it being done much better. And yes, to cap off the final episode,
I'd imagine, sorry to cut you off, I'd imagine there are those who are massively into talent shows that do not like the pomp and circumstance that comes with Britain's Got Talent.
Yes, yeah.
Because they are talent show purists.
Yeah,
And they don't like the buttons and things like that. And so when they watch Britain's Got Talent, they're like, well, this isn't quite how I like my talent shows.
Yeah, or all the acoustic-only... Yeah, acoustic-only people who like music.
Yeah, oh, those
and
music
the
people.
X Factor. All the acoustic-only people.
All the acoustic-only people.
Anyway, what a fantastic way to cap off the season finale with a match that went, I mean, like last week's Battle Royal went over multiple segments, but that's because it was just so long. This was a singles championship match. It felt big time to have it. So it was Justin Sizem versus Rampage. It's kind of the story that's been told since around episode 3 or 4.
Since episode 1, when Justin was essentially screwed out of the title.
Was that episode 1?
Yeah, it was the 4-way.
Oh, okay, but then like he got the, singles rematch. That's where I was backdating it from. But yes, you're right, really. And Sizem was victorious.
And what a moment it was. It genuinely really did feel like a really big moment. I thought that Rampage was amazing in this match. It was absolutely brilliant.
Spinebusters.
Oh, mate, his STOs and his Uranagis are out there. His Uranagi is on point, but his spinebusters, like proper like lift them up in the air and then just like throw them down to the mat as hard as you can. It was brilliant. Like they broke the ring, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. So there's one spot where
Sizem whips Rampage off the ropes, and you're like, okay, I know what happens now. Sizem's going to do the leapfrog over. It's the international, one of the most common sequences in wrestling. But then as Justin jumps up, Rampage kind of catches him, spins him round to the hard cam, and hits this awesome spine buster.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, the ring broke in the middle there.
Off the superplex. Like, they did the superplex, and you could, when they showed the replay of it, they did the super slow-mo, and man, the ring just like goes, and just sort of crunched down a bit. And then you got Alex Shane really putting over on commentary.
The chaos.
The ring is broken. You can see where it's bubbled. It's now really unsafe. And like, you don't want to have your back landing on that because it's really going to mess your back up. And it's really putting over sort of like the danger of the match. And it did feel quite chaotic at times. And there were...
Do you think Okada's there going...
Oh, sorry. My headphones were cutting out.
Oh, technical issues. Do you think Okada... Is there good? No, chaos. That wasn't chaos. We're over here in Japan.
Well, are they, though? That's the problem.
Yeah, poor guys. Gedo. Why Gedo?
So I just thought it was a tremendous, tremendous match. Really, really enjoyed both guys. And you got like the wonderful, and I'm going to use this term, but I don't mean it as negatively as it may sound. The pantomime of it all. Mm. When you've got Sha Samuels and CJ Banks on the outside being sort of these dastardly villains, and you get the big, brilliant Steve Linsky, you two to the back. Oh, no, I want to be a ring sword. No, I want to be out here. The crowd are going, singing the na-na-na song. Then, oh, no, I've been sent to the back. And then CJ Banks comes out later on. Oh, what's he doing out here? And there was the just big, almost pantomime-esque sort of pomp and circumstance. And that's where Justin is brilliant, because Justin's facial reactions really sort of tell a story, that his facial reactions tell an audience, this is mental. Cheerful. And do you know what's going on? Cheer for me. Like, it's great. Yeah. It's just, he's really, really good at it.
Guys, cheer. Yes, okay. And I was thinking about this. It's quite remarkable that these are the two main guys and they feel so otherworldly up there. And they don't speak. And I'm wondering if that's a part of it, of the packaging, because Rampage doesn't utter a word. I'm pretty sure Sizem hasn't said
it. He cut a promo at the end of last week's episodes. When
he won the thing.
Yeah, and I think he's done like maybe a couple of backstage bits and pieces. But like promo-wise, it's been very...
Yeah, but not to the extent of a Grado or a Hendry or other people that have gone over with the crowd. So it's kind of like... And they are these kind of mythical figures, the way Sizem comes out with his Thor cape.
Superhero cape.
And Rampage is just this silent killer and destroyer.
He's got a mean face.
Yeah, yeah. So so much was told through the facials. And this was, like, I love the big man style of the match and just how it was. It felt like usually when people make a comeback and then they're cut off, in the WWE way, I get a bit bored of it, but here I don't know if it just felt fresh the way Sizem kept coming back and Rampage
knocking him back down.
But yeah, it really was, rather than say pantomime, the pro wrestling of
there
it all.
There you go, that's what it is.
Rampage comes out with Shah and CJ, they get sent to the back eventually. But then you get visual pins, you get a ref bump, you get a second ref, you get Shah Samuels running down and CJ Banks kick out. Oh, it was twists and turns of the most a good Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
Or like an 80s wrestling style where the babyface goes over and there's no reversing of the decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes promotions do this and they have all these run-ins and smoke and mirrors because the heel's going to win, and actually it feels a bit dissatisfying at the end, and that works, but then you subvert that and you make the babyface overcome all of this stuff and it feels even better, and that, I'm glad they went that way because I feel like it deserved a happy ending this season.
I'm completely in agreement with you. And like, you and I were not privy to the spoilers or anything like that. We didn't like look into them or anything like that. So we just enjoyed the 10 episode run sort of as it's been going. But I think we all sort of assumed, well, Justin's going to win the belt at the end of the season, and it's going to be a big feel good moment. But there were points during this match where I was like, I wonder if Rampage is going to retain here.
Yeah, just be a dominant heel champion.
Just be a dominant. Like, I was like. I think Rampage might win because they had all like the sort of like the interference and like the kickouts and the near falls and things like that. And I was like, yeah, maybe Justin isn't winning this. So it was like a really then nice moment, and it was lovely. It was beautiful Poe wrestling poetic justice.
Yeah.
Because Shah Samuels gets in the ring when the referee is down and he's being a big old East End butcher and he's like beating up the good guy and he's like, oh, you shut up, you mug. And he's blah, 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 blah. And he takes off the turnbuckle pad and he's like, oh, like thrown on the ground. And he has this amazing moment. This is pure pro wrestling to show you how hard that is. He taps his hand on it, could be like, oh, look what I've done. And he does that and he goes, ah. It hurt his hand to touch it.
Yeah, it was like everyone played their role perfectly. And additionally, Stu Bennett.
Yeah.
So at the end, when Justin wins, Stu's in the ring and he's got the belt. And earlier in the Stu almost put over Grado. Like Grado had proved himself to Stu, and that's another arc that's gone through the course of the season. And Stu's in there, he's got the belt to hand to Justin, but Rampage drags it away. You know,
no,
like,
I'm the champ.
I know he just won, but you know, we're in cahoots, right? We're heels, so you should give it to me. But Stu was like, no, Dex Rampage, and hands the title to Sizem. And I really like that character for Stu, that he does, like, you think he's a bad guy, but actually he's just got a warped moral compass, but it is at least a consistent moral compass, and that is, when you win, you win.
Yeah.
And you have proved yourself to me.
Yes, and the finish was like Rampage chanting in the corner, and he hits into that exposed turnbuckle that Shah Samuels had set up, one of his cronies, and then he turns around into that discus lariat, which is a really wicked move. I really like the discus lariat, which, I mean, I can't pronounce because it's well, he calls it Mjolnir.
Yes, the
Thor's hammer.
But
I end up being like Darcy in the Thor movies, where I go meow meow
meow meow.
But it's just a really cool. And he gets that, and he gets the pin. But he had like several visual pins earlier on. There was a move when it was like, you can count to 20 if you want. The referee's not there. I just thought it was a really beautifully structured match.
Yeah,
and a great end to a fun 10-episode season. I thoroughly enjoyed the main event.
And there was the Rampage getting the title belt in as well.
And he was so brilliant. Like,
yeah.
I loved Rampage in this match. I mean, Justin was great, but Rampage was brilliant. Like, when he gets out of the ring, and he just get, like, slowly, cockily, he's like, the referee's out. I'm just going to grab this title belt, and I'm just going to do this as slowly as possible.
Yeah.
Make sure you all see what I'm getting up to. Oh, no, it backfires!
He's recovered,
yeah. But, I mean, big shout out to Justin Sizem as well, with an absolutely terrific performance.
Yes.
450 off the top as well to get the win. Great stuff. Really, really enjoyed it.
And we mentioned another championship concept changed hands, and that was Grado and Davey Boy went over.
Yeah.
As Stu said, the tag team that the nation has fallen in love with. And they are quite a nice odd couple pairing.
Yeah.
I would have preferred a Grado and Joe Hendry.
Oh, wouldn't
Joe Hendry seemed a bit forgotten in this season finale.
Yeah, he just
finale.
Sort of disappeared, didn't he, about
and
halfway through the
over.
Season. Because someone pointed out he wasn't in the buzzer battle last week either. And I suddenly realised, like,
wasn't.
And I didn't think about it at the time. I was like, oh yeah, Joe wasn't in that match.
Yeah.
Because neither was Will either, but I think we figured that Will wouldn't be in the match. But yeah, then I was surprised I didn't see Joe there. So yeah, Joe has been forgotten in this, and I was expecting like a Joe run in during the main events to, you know, kind of like tie some of these loose ends together. So maybe Joe will get something a bit more. Should we get commissioned for WOS get commissioned for a second series?
I think it's because all of this was taped in advance and then put out. It's difficult to know who get, like, when someone starts to get over with the at home viewership in episode 4. You're like, huh, that we've already filmed everything.
Yeah.
So hopefully for season 2 you can shift and you can have more Ospreay, have more Robbie X, have more Joe Hendry.
Because Ospreay's on the WOS tour.
Yeah, so that's promising.
Yeah, and I thought there was some really, really good stuff in there. And actually, there's a note I wanted to sort of cap, you know, this WOS review off with. I mean, I know we're going to talk about the tag match. But we ran into Justin Sizem at Wrestling MediaCon. And Justin was telling you that he watches these reviews. That's lovely. Thank you very much, Justin.
That's why we say nice things.
Sent him a message on Twitter to be like, love that match.
Yeah.
But he came up to us because you and Laurie had talked about his 450 splash. There's no real jump on the 450.
Straight into the air. There's just a wicked tumble forward.
And he said, yeah, it's because usually I'm doing it in buildings where there's such a low ceiling. And like, I can feel it. I can feel the ceiling on my hair. So I don't want to leap because I'm just going to put my head through the ceiling. So I got so used to just doing the 450 with no leap. And he goes, but yeah, thinking about it, now that I know there's no roof there, I probably could jump up in the air.
Yeah, he definitely could.
He definitely could.
Add a few more rotations to it. Next season, we want the 630.
Yeah, that's what we want out of you, Justin.
Yeah, and the tag titles changed hands to... So Kip Sabian and Yestem Reese, just as I figure out how to say his first name, he's no longer a champion.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a solid match.
Yeah, it was a couple of bits of miscommunication. It wasn't the smoothest of matches, but it was a very good feel-good moment for Grado. What a journey.
Well, that's it, yeah.
He's had a great journey from, you know, from episode one where he lost his championship and then the battles he's had with Stu to this moment here where he wins the tag team titles and Stu stands up and gives him a round of applause and says, like, I've turned a corner on Grado. He's really proved himself to me. Which was a really, really nice moment for both.
Weirdly, that's even nicer than the tag title win.
Yes.
It was that moment of Grado proving himself the Stewards because he kicked out of their kind of Doomsday Device finisher and, you know, hit a cutter for the win.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it was Grado who won that match, not resting on Davey Boy's strength.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, very good stuff.
Really good stuff from Grado. What a nice man. And he is now the only... what would you triple crown?
Oh,
what do you call it?
A
Grand Slam. He's the only Grand WOS Slam. Grand Slam champion. He's won both belts.
Cool. Go for the women's belt next
season. Yeah, come on, mate. I'm sure you could. Yeah, I mean, Katie will probably kick your ass, but you know, you could always give it a go, mate. What?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.